Friday, February the 5th, wound up a busy week. It was my day for a Women Doers Luncheon, the one that's a kickoff for the beautification program with Mary Lasker as a speaker. But a little before Mary came, I got the word that Lennon was down at the diplomatic reception room with the young people of the Senate Youth Program, sponsored by the William Randolph Hearst Foundation, consisting of students from every state in the Union, I think two or three, while given a trip to Washington and a thorough review of their government because of the leadership qualities they've shown and their interest in government work. There Lyndon was, with some 100 or so young people, eyes fixed on him, he in the middle of a circle, delivering a lengthy speech on why he wanted all of them to get into government, and adding that when he got out of government, he was going to spend his retirement promoting in young people an interest in government. I'm glad to hear, and I applaud. A most informal receiving line ensued. Both of us shook hands with all of them, including the George Hearst from California, who are friends of F.D. Brown, friend of mine from the University of Texas days, 1932 and 3. Then back upstairs to the luncheon, first with Mary to have our pictures made, gazing at her lovely displays of a tulip and daffodil planting on Fifth Avenue. Maureen Neuberger, long an advocate of beautification with a special emphasis on controlling billboards, Mrs. Newbold Noyes of the Star, Lee Udall, whose husband is spearhead of the whole beautification program, and Mrs. Erastus Corning, president of the Garden Club of America, were among the guests, and the dean of a Minnesota college that Hubert had asked us to include at some time, and a woman member of the Virginia House of Delegates. The guests come from among my own friends, are people well known for their interests and achievements in whatever we're going to discuss, or sometimes they're recommended by congressmen. It was a lively luncheon conversation. One of Maureen's stories had no bearing at all on beautification, but was an interesting vignette. Some years back, she had played bridge regularly, once a week, with three old ladies, Mrs. Woodrow Wilson and two others of her vintage. They spent a part of their bridge time reminiscing about the Washington of 1919, and Maureen listening, absorbed. Mrs. Wilson was startled, and not pleasantly, to receive an invitation from one of today's hostesses, whom she didn't know. She said that in her day, one didn't invite people one didn't know, and of course she was not going. And another of Maureen's stories did have a very real bearing on beautification. She said that in Portland, her home, where anything that you stick in the ground grows, the city parks that are so beautifully full of roses and more lately camellias are well kept and have an annual pruning, at which time all the pruned-off branches are stacked up in the street, and there are stories in their paper and announcements over the radio that homeowners are welcome to come and get all the cuttings they want before the rest is hauled off as trash. As a result, everybody's yard in Portland, nearly everybody's, is abloom with roses and camellias. We thought in a much, much lesser way that custom might be borrowed here in the District of Columbia. And Libby Rowe, who was on the Planning Commission, said she was going to get the National Park Service to give all its last year bulbs, which are not replanted because of the heavy labor cost and the fact they don't produce as well the second year. She wanted to get them given public housing here in Washington so the tenants in public housing could plant them. Mary gave the speech. Lively, competent, attractive, and showed her splendid pictures. In a nutshell, her program is masses of flowers where the masses pass. Water, lights, and color. Masses of flowers. Those three things spell beautification to Mary. I was surprised to see, when it was over, that Mary, that most sophisticated, most intelligent of women, was a little nervous and unsure. So I don't mind so much it happening to me. In the late afternoon, I went down with Linda to the theater to see the home movies and add some audio to them to explain who, when, what, and where, and maybe a word or two of philosophy and background. It was another late night. It was 10:20 when Lyndon came home for dinner. I'll have to do something about Zephyr. Her days are too long. But how can I speak of that when what I really ought to do is something about Lyndon? Only it's so much harder to do anything about him.